You can't arrest God. The advance in the cover of night while the Lamb prays for his Father's will to be done. They come armed, but a steel blade and tested soldiers fall to the ground at his word. I am he. He hung the stars, dug the seas, lifted the mountains. He created plants and sprung all creatures to life. And Judas thinks that God can be arrested, bound, and tried. Well, he's right. But only because God is love. No one can arrest God, bind God, and kill God unless he willingly goes. So at his word, Peter sheaths his sword, and the angelic legions stand down. He does not love his life, but he loves the will of his Father. His bound hands hold the cup of suffering and wrath and death. For this is the Father's will, a divine substitute for fallen man. Christ begins to sip, for it is necessary that one man should die for the people. The Jewish trials are a joke. Posing as guardians of God's word, the high priests interrogate the incarnate word. They may eat kosher, but they are not of God. They hate the gospel. Prompted by Satan, they seek to carry out their Father's will. That is, to wipe from the face of the earth the gospel. Satan thinks he's clever, but he forgets that Christ is the one who is holding the cup in his hands. He begins to sip as his creatures strike him. For our part, we would lash out if someone hit us, especially unjustly. But he turns the other cheek because he loves. Pilate takes his authority seriously, so he wants to know why they have brought Jesus to him. What has he done that is worthy of death? They have no answer. They know full well that Pilate will not condemn Jesus for preaching the gospel. So he questions Jesus and quickly learns that this man is different. He is a king, but he is not interested in overthrowing the Romans. His servants do not wield swords, clubs, or spears to fight and protect him, but this king alone fights. He alone holds the cup in his hand so that his servants might be spared. It is for this purpose that he came into the world. He is the Lamb of God, born in Bethlehem where the sheep were raised for temple slaughter. He has now come to the culmination of his life. Pilate knows that he is innocent, for the Lamb must be without blemish and without defect, but Pilate is afraid of the people. They hate Jesus. But perhaps they hate Barabbas, the rioter, the murderer, the insurrectionist. Perhaps they hate him even more. But this is the hour when darkness reigned. The crowning jewel of God's creation has turned on him, sided with the devil, and chosen the murderer. But do not think for a second that the crowds or Pilate are in control. The one whose hands are bound is in control. He willingly takes the cup. He willingly switches places with Barabbas and with you. For who deserves to die, the sinner or the righteous one? The soul that sins shall die, Scripture says. So should you be set free while your God languishes? Should he drink your cup and suffer your deserved wrath and die for your sins? Or should you? See him standing there in your place to spare you from death. Barabbas' name means son of the Father. Because Christ took your place and died your death, you, the murdering and rebellious creature, are now declared to be sons of the Father. He will not discard the cup lest you be condemned. For God's will is your salvation, and so Christ is willingly going. The scourge begins to fly and the thorns sink in. With one word, all would perish. But he sees that cup that the Father has given him, and he chooses to drink. There is no other way to redeem you. Behold the man who is what all men should be, humble, gentle, and righteous, obedient to the ways of God, neither turning to the right nor to the left. Behold the man who bears the sins of the world. Behold the man who stands in your place, drinking your cup, his blood flowing, yet his mind fixated on you. He knows your faces, your traits, your personalities. He knew you by name, and so he remained silent so that you might be set free and him condemned. This is his purpose. So there's nothing more to say to Pilate. Pilate thinks that he's in charge, but Jesus gently reminds him of God. What Satan uses for evil, God uses for good, to accomplish the salvation of the world. Finally, Pilate hands Jesus over to the chief priests, for it is the job of the priest to offer sacrifices to God. And here is the unblemished lamb, without defect, pure, holy, and spotless, marked for slaughter by the priests, killed and condemned by those who do not know what they are doing. Pilate supplies the theology for this, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Yet they protest, for they hate the gospel. But Pilate wants the whole world to know who Jesus is. He's not so much concerned about theology as he is politics. But remember, he's not in charge either way. The Father has given the Son the cup to drink and lifts him up on the cross to save fallen man from hell. Though his hands are separated and pinned to a tree, Christ begins to gulp down the wrath of God. It is a heavy burden, for the weight of your sins is great. But do not feel sorry for Jesus. No one forced him to do this. Willingly, he goes. He allowed Judas to find him in the garden. He allowed the soldiers to get back up in Gethsemane. He allowed Caiaphas to condemn him, Pilate to flog him, and the priests to crucify him. So do not weep for him. Rather, weep for yourselves. Let repentant tears wet your cheeks, for this is what your discontentment, your rolling eyes, your annoyances, and your biting words have earned. Do not think that your sins are really not that big of a deal. Have you not heard his cries or seen his blood? Do not think that your sinful thoughts really do not hurt anyone. He's roasted over the fires of hell because of your loose tongue, your daydreams, your wandering eyes, and your complaints. Our so-called harmless sins spill his blood. The cup he drinks is your cup, yet he has willingly taken it. The soldiers divide his garments into four parts, for by his death he has earned a righteousness that will extend to the four corners of the world. So that you might receive this, Christ tells John to take care of Mary. Mary is an image of the church, and John is Christ's minister. His ministers will care for the church in Christ's visible absence. Go and preach the good news to all creation, he says. Baptize them, cover their sins with my righteousness. So one seamless garment, not torn, this perfect righteousness now draped over you in the waters of holy baptism. For Christ has taken from you your sins and has placed on you the garment of his righteousness. His perfection adorns you. His life clothes you. For all of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, clothed with Christ. Willingly he suffers and dies so that you might stand before God as the son of a father. The cup is almost emptied. I thirst. 6 hours of crucifixion, 6 hours of enduring the eternal punishment of hell for all people. The last dregs are drunk. He licks it dry. Nothing more is left. It is finished. The cup is empty. God's wrath appeased. The sacrifice has died for you. Your sins are paid for. Your death is satisfied. God has been arrested. God has been flogged. God has been crucified. God has endured hell. God has died. Thus you are saved. But first, God is pierced. blood and water flow. John saw it. He's not lying. He saw it, and he's testifying so that you also may believe. Forget the scientific reason for why blood and water flow, and rather see this as how God's victory is given to you. He emptied the cup of God's wrath, and now he fills that cup up with his own blood. It is a cup of blessing. Take and drink. This is the new covenant built on his death. He drank God's wrath so that you might drink the blood of his forgiveness. The sacraments find their power and source in the death of Christ. Through them, he brings Calvary to you. His death was for you. So the forgiveness, life, and salvation that are found in this cup are for you. Drink the blood of the sacrifice. No one forced him to give it to you, but he wills to be your Savior. So do not weep for him. Today is his day of victory. Today the battle is over. Today he takes back what Satan had stolen. Today he empties the cup. It is finished. Success. Glory, honor, dominion, power, and strength are Christ's forever and ever because of this day. But exasperated from the struggle, he keeps the Sabbath rest. In the name of Jesus.